Welcome to Wildlife Outdoors with your host, Russell and Jose. If you have a passion for conservation of the outdoors, or you're enjoying a calming hike in the mountains, an exhilarating kayak trip on the river, feeling a fish on the end of your line, cooking on an open flame in a primitive campsite, or stalking big game, just waiting for the perfect shot, you're in the right place. So put on your boots and polarized sunglasses and come along for the ride.
All right. Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to another episode of the Wildlife Outdoor Podcast. My name is Jose, and as always, we're joined by Russell.
Howdy, howdy.
And yeah, man. So today is going to be another snapshots episode. We're going to keep it short. We're going to keep it quick. Or we're going to try to anyways. But yeah, so I think what we're going to do is we're going to do a little quick weekend recap. And then towards the end of the podcast, we're going to play a little game that we've been actually meaning to play for some time. We just haven't got around to it. So we'll just see how that goes. Yeah. But you want to kick off the weekend recap, Russell? I feel like you and your family had quite a little adventure.
Dude, we did. It was fun. So I wanted to try to get on the white bass. And so I talked about that when we did our live fly tying. And it's just a little too early here. We had another cold front blow through, reached out to a couple of my guide friends, and they said the whites just aren't quite running yet. So I didn't want to take my kids out and deal with kayaks because I was going to let my oldest ride on her own kayak, and then the youngest was going to be on my kayak. And I didn't want us to be trying to chase around, trying to find any fish for hours and then maybe not even catch any, especially since it was going to be Adeline's first time actually like fly fishing. And Peyton just hasn't really been that interested in it lately. So didn't really want to burn them out on trying to chase them. So I figured we'd probably do best going to an urban creek here in Hot Springs. And so we went to Hot Springs Creek, which is just a little tiny creek that runs through the middle of town. And dude, we tore up the freaking brim, like catching all sorts of red ears and long ears and green sunfish, and hell, Peyton even caught a freaking creek chub on the fly. So
really?
Yeah, dude, it was cool. She's like, "Dad, what is this? What is this?" And from a distance, I saw the longer profile and kind of like a lateral line. And I was like, "That's a bass. That's a little bass." And I come running over because I was helping Adeline at the time. And I was like, "Holy crap, that's a creek chub." And so she was holding it. And I actually got to film some stuff. I don't know if I got enough to make a little video or not. But yeah, it was fun. We just went out there and Adeline caught her first fish on the fly rod. You know, she's six. And on the two-weight glass, she caught a little, I think it was a long ear. And, dude, we had a good time. We were out there for like 3 or 4 hours and just tore them up. And the water was, I mean, we'd had some recent rain, so it was flowing, but it was long enough to where it wasn't murky anymore. And it was just gorgeous. I mean, there's an area right outside, like pretty much downtown, where there's some baseball fields and stuff. And there's just a lot of rocks that it goes over, and they're like small waterfalls and stuff. And it was just gorgeous, yeah, man. The water was clear. I think it got up to 65 that day. And so the sun was out, wasn't really too windy. I mean, it was just perfect fishing conditions, and the brim were ready to play for sure. So it was pretty good, man.
Nice, dude. Well, congrats to Adeline on her first fish. Did she say anything about it?
Like, oh, she was excited.
Her reaction?
Well, I mean, yeah, She's caught a lot of fish herself before on her push button rod. But with the fly rod, she was excited, really, you know, stripping it in, and then she kept trying to like strip it in further. Like she wanted to get the fish to her. She wasn't like really getting the fact that she had to let it down. But when I let her hold it, she got to throw it in herself, and she gave it a little kiss and threw it in. And I think she caught like probably eight fish. And, almost every single one, she wanted to give a kiss before she threw it in, and she was just loving it, man. She's been asking to go fishing for the past couple weeks. So she was happy to get out there.
Man, that's so awesome. Has she said anything about it since?
Yeah, she's talked about it. And then when I dropped her off with her mom, she told her mom about it immediately. And yeah, she was just having a good time. And it was weird because Peyton, every time I've asked her, she hasn't wanted to go fishing. And I mean, I get it. She's a 14-year-old girl. Like, they're not really into that often. So I wasn't going to force her to go. And so I told her, I was like, "Hey, you know, tomorrow me and your sister are going to go fishing for a little bit. Like, you're welcome to come. You don't have to. I'm not going to force you if you want to, you know, stay home or whatever." She's like, "No, I want to come." I was like, "Sweet. Like, I'm going to have both my girls out there." And I think the last time we fished, it was kind of one of those, one's getting tangled, then the other one's getting tangled, then the other one needs help, you know, taking the fish off the hook. And we bought worms this time. we ended up not using them, even though Adeline had her push button. I just threw a fly on her push button, and she was catching fish with it. And so it was, we weren't even using bait. They were just using little flies that I tied up. I tied up some peacock hurl, little midges and zebra midges and stuff. And everything we caught was on a size 16 or smaller, maybe a size 14. And so they were just, we were catching everything on flies, either on the fly rod or on the push button. So it was good, man. And I didn't really have to untangle anything. Peyton only got tangled up one time when we were walking between, we had to cross a road and go under a bridge and stuff. So when we were walking, she got tangled up a little bit, but that was it. So it was probably like the best fishing experience I've had with both girls.
Man, that's awesome. So did Peyton have a kind of a change of heart? Did she have a good time out there?
Yeah, she did have a good time. And, but I think she went in pretty open-minded as it was, because I was, every time I've asked her previously, she didn't want to go, but this time she seemed kind of eager to go, kind of excited to go. And then I was talking about, well, maybe we'll go get something to eat before we go. And she's like, no, I just want to go fishing. So she seemed like she kind of wanted to go out there. And then she really didn't want to stop at the end. Like, Adeline was like, Dad, because there's a little outdoor workout area outside one of the playgrounds. Yeah. And Adeline loves going to that, and it has like little machines that you use body weight on. And she kept asking, she's like, Daddy, can I go work? Can I go work? I was like, oh, you want to go to the workout equipment? And she kept wanting to, but Peyton was like, no, we're fishing. Like, Peyton wanted to stay fishing. So it was nice to see that she got out there and was actually having fun. And I think her thing is, if she's not catching, she's over it quick. But if she's catching fish, like, she just wants to continue to stay out there. So it was awesome. Man, it was awesome. A really good weekend because of that.
Dude, heck yeah. That sounds awesome, man. I'm glad y'all had a good time.
Me too. Really, and I'm glad I got some of it on film too. So hopefully if I can't make a full video of it, I'll definitely have some reels to put out and stuff like that. So.
Oh, heck yeah.
Yeah. What man, about you? What'd you do this past weekend?
Not a dang thing.
Damn it, Bobby.
No, now Saturday I went to go help my friend's dad do some stuff around his property. He's getting ready to leave to Nicaragua. That's where his wife is from, and they got a little place up there. And so they go periodically to go check on things, see how everything's going, and just to kind of get away for a bit. So they're getting ready to leave, but he wanted to get his plant. They were going to be gone for I think 2 months, if I'm not mistaken. Mm-hmm. But he wanted to get his garden started before he left.
I see.
And so, yeah, he has a raised garden bed out there. So we put in some stuff, and then we're going to till it up and everything, just to make sure, get everything ready for the plants that he bought. And there was a pipe that had burst, and cause he's got like a little irrigation system out there. Mm-hmm. And one of the pipes had like come apart. The glue just gave way or whatever. And so it was flooding overnight, and he didn't know. And it was in the pipe that burst was downhill, so it flowed straight into the garden bed, and it was just totally flooded, man. And that soil retains water like crazy, so I'm running the tiller trying to get everything going, and it was just bogging down with the mud. It was not happening. So we just called it for the day, and I'm actually gonna head back out there this weekend to it should have dried out by now, hopefully anyway. So we're going to try and do that, get his garden, everything set up before he leaves.
Nice.
And so that was Saturday. Sunday, I went out to go take some photos for a friend. They have an arena where they do like rodeo events and such. And so they're trying to revamp their website, and they wanted some photos to kind of show the arena and the different things they have to offer. And so went out there, and that got a little squirrely. There's some drama that went down, but I won't talk about that here on the podcast. I don't want to put their business out there, but and it's not their fault. It was just an interesting chain of events that happened.
Yeah.
And but yeah, so the main things, but turned the photo shoot pretty exciting, but yeah, it was fun. It was good. Did that, came back home. That's it, man. I have not had a chance to go fishing. I've been wanting to. So I've just been tying flies in the meantime. I've been on a little streamer kick. I've just been kind of experimenting with things, and just been doing that, man. Since I can't fish, I'll just do fish related things. So I'm just tying.
Dude, you've been tying some sick streamers.
I appreciate it, man. It's been fun. It comes and goes in waves. Like, there are days, like, probably. So prior to the Trout Fest, I hadn't sat at my vice or at my tying desk in, man, probably months. And I don't know why. I just didn't feel like time for the longest time. But went down there, met some folks, saw some awesome tires, was inspired. And it's just like, I've been trying to tie at least one fly a night here and just to kind of, I guess, get back in the swing of things and everything. And also, like, it does help calm the mind and help me unwind. So there's that. But yeah, man, that's pretty much it.
That's awesome.
Pretty much it. I'm going to try and get out and do some fishing this weekend if I can. Sarah actually finally, we talked about going fishing. I think she's about ready. She's right nice. At that point. So we talked about it the other day. So we got a little bit of cold snap this week here in Texas. So hopefully when it warms up, she's a fair weather outdoors person. If it's too hot or if it's too cold, she ain't going outside.
Right.
So we gotta wait for good temps and things. And so we're gonna try hopefully here pretty soon.
Nice. Yeah, we're getting some warm weather. So we had a cold snap here too. Today it got down in the 30s and we had some type of, I don't know if it was winter precipitation or hail, but there was ice falling from the sky. And I'm like, why is this happening? It was 75 degrees a couple days ago. But
dude, this weather is insane.
It is. It is. And then I think this weekend it's going to get up to like 70 something again this weekend. So It's just a lot of back and forth, probably making the fish go crazy. That false spring got some of the fish moving. And then now it's like they're bedding back down or getting down to deeper water and just trying to stay warm. And hopefully they get active again in a couple weeks. So.
Dude, I know we had like a false spring or like first spring, I guess. and then it just got cold again. Like my roommate, he went fishing at a local pond. He's like, dude, the big bass are starting to move up. I guess they're getting ready to bed. Cause he said he lost two nice ones.
Really?
And he said he had a panfish on. I don't know if it was a bluegill or what, but he had a little panfish on. And as he's bringing it in, a bigger bass came and like tried to eat it. So they're getting aggressive. They're getting ready. I guess they're getting ready to spawn. So trying to put on some weight or whatever. Right. But now should be a good time to get on some fish. I just need to actually have the time to do it.
Ain't that the truth, dude? Have you seen any of Grant's posts lately, Grant Powell?
Dude, that guy's been him and his buddies been tearing them up in the whole country.
It's nuts.
Some
dude.
Nice ones.
Makes me so freaking jealous. And then did you see his post yesterday with the freaking crawfish etouffee he was making?
Yeah, man, it looked really, really good.
I messaged him. I was like, you gonna make some crawfish jambi? And he said, hell yeah. And he's like, well, actually, it's etouffee. But I was like, dude. And then, so that bag, he had crawfish tails, which I guess is a shout out to freaking HEB, man. They have bags of crawfish tails at HEB. And so I asked him where he got them. He told me HEB. I was like, damn. We don't have that here. That's one thing I miss. Never thought I would ever miss a freaking grocery store, but I do.
No store does more, bro.
Dude, that's exactly what he said. I said, no lies told.
Is it really? That's funny. Dude, I love HEB, bro. I love there's, and it's kind of funny because like, I mean, in grad school, we get people from all over the place. And I always hear like the same two things. Even if they're not a big fan of Texas, they say the same two things. They're like, man, you Texans do two things right. Bluebell ice cream and HEB.
Yep.
they just love it, man. And, honestly, if I ever leave Texas, it's gonna be real hard leaving behind HEB. I love that place.
Same, dude. We don't even have anything close to HEB here. I mean, we have like if HEB were a roadside produce stand, like we have something similar to that here called Harps. It's like a little miniature produce section of HEB turned into a store. They don't have everything that HEB has, but the quality of the produce is similar. The seafood is lacking. The meat department's lacking. Pretty much everything else is lacking. They just have the similar, you know, freshness of HEB. I miss HEB so much.
Yeah, I've been with you to Harper's once. I think it was before. I think we were getting ready to go fishing or something, and we went in and grabbed some stuff.
Yeah, that's right. Because I used to live right around the corner from the Harps, and it was So, but yeah, I miss HEB. But yeah, dude, I'm so ready for crawfish season two,
bro. I know. I enjoy crawfish boils, but crawfish etouffee is probably my favorite way to eat crawfish.
What I do is I like to take scraps, like leftovers, because everybody always makes too much crawfish. And if they offer to take leftovers, oh, I'm taking them. And then I'll take the leftovers and I'll pull the tail meat out, chop it up. And I like to make jambalaya with it. And then I'll make a stock out of the crawfish shells and the heads and stuff. And I'll boil them down and make a stock out of it, use a crawfish stock in the jambalaya, and then the crawfish meat, throw some andouille sausage in there, of course, the Holy Trinity, and make myself hungry.
Bro, I know, I haven't eaten since maybe 7 a.m. this morning, 6, 8 a.m., something like
yeah,
that.
I couldn't do it.
I'm hungry, bro. I'm hungry.
But well, we can stop talking about food.
Yeah, just one more story. I remember in my undergrad days, my friend Todd, shout out Todd, miss you, bud. One of the nicest dudes I've ever met. Also one of the smartest. But his mom and dad lived in Corpus Christi. Mm-hmm. And so on the weekends, sometimes like if we had fishing trips or hunting trips, his parents would let us crash at their place. And dude, his mom one time for dinner cooked up a mean crawfish etouffee. It was amazing. So good, dude. And we fished all day. Or I can't remember if we went fishing or we went hunting. Can't remember. I think we went fishing, but we fished all day, came back, and dude, she had this big old pot full of crawfish etouffee, and we just stuffed our faces. It was awesome. Good times.
Dude, I freaking love it. I think the best crawfish etouffee I've had is actually at this little Cajun restaurant in a strip center in Vicksburg, Mississippi. And it's funny because I only went there one day because when I was working over there, it was before we got Whataburger here close by in Arkansas, because there's one about 45 minutes away from me now. But when I was working in Vicksburg, it was prior to us having one here. And so anytime I saw Whataburger, if I went back to Texas or there, I was like, oh, that's what I'm getting. Definitely. If I got there in breakfast time, I'm getting it for breakfast and I'm getting it for lunch. Like I love Whataburger. And one day I went and their card machine was down and I didn't have cash. And I was just like, man, I'm not going to run and get cash and come back. So I looked up what else was there, and there was a little Cajun restaurant. I can't remember what it's called, but it's across the highway from there in Vicksburg from the Whataburger, and it's in a little strip center. And I walked in, and people are just friendly as could be. And I went in there, and I got – it was like a tour of the bayou where you got the crawfish etouffee, and I got red beans and rice, and I got fried pickles. I got like four things. And that crawfish etouffee was the best crawfish etouffee I've ever had. It was so freaking good. And I haven't worked in Mississippi in a couple months, and I think next time I go back, I'm definitely going to get that.
Heck yeah, man.
Yeah, love okay. some crawfish.
So I think we've kind of veered off topic a little bit. So I guess we can bring it back. So the other thing that we wanted to do for today's snapshots was play a game. So there's a game that's been going around. To be fair, I think you and I are probably a little late to the party when it comes to this game.
That's, right.
I mean, I've seen a bunch of videos on Instagram, YouTube, whatever, but essentially – I believe the game is called Say the Same Thing. And the basic premise is that Russell and I will say a word at random and at the same time. And they're very likely going to be very different things, right? Mm-hmm. But we have to try and identify a common thread. I mean, we can't give each other hints or anything. We just kind of like, we can just have like a general conversation about it. But the next time we say a word, that word should be related to some way that the first two words were related, right?
Yep.
So some common thread, and we keep doing this with the ultimate goal being that we will eventually arrive to the same word.
Yep.
And so yeah, and it looks like a lot of fun. I'm terrible with word association games, but we're just gonna have fun with it anyway. But and we talked a little bit about it beforehand. So I think we're going to set some ground rules. One being that we should stick to, since we're an outdoor podcast, outdoor related things, but it can be anything within the outdoor space. So it can be anything hiking related, camping related, fishing or hunting, whatever. And then we're going to, I think to make it even more interesting, we'll give ourselves a maximum of 5 tries. So we have 5 chances to try and get to the same word, and we're going to see how that goes. But yeah, that's basically the premise. And also, fun fact, do you remember that band OK Go, Russell?
Yeah.
They had that music video where they're jumping on the treadmills and all that, like dancing on the treadmills?
Yeah.
Bro. Well, one, number one, awesome music video and great song. Number two, as far as I can tell, they're the ones that started this game.
Really?
They have a video. Dude, they have a video on YouTube that is 10 years old talking about this game.
Interesting. That's that one crazy song that Here It Goes Again or whatever is with the treadmills. Yeah, is that what it was? Yeah. Interesting. Yeah, 10 years ago? That's crazy.
10 years ago on YouTube. Crazy.
Are they even still making music anymore? I haven't heard of them in forever.
Yeah, that's a good question, man. I don't know. But I love that song. That's a good song.
It's super catchy.
For real.
So when we do this, are we going to count down 3, 2, 1 and say it? Or how are we going to do that?
Yeah. Do you want to do 3, 2, 1, go and then say the word, or 3, 2, 1, say the word?
3, 2, 1, say the word, I think.
Okay. Okay. Let's do that. Okay, I got a word.
I got my word.
Okay, ready?
3, 2, 1. Crawfish. Fly fishing. What'd you say?
Fly fishing.
Fly fishing? I said crawfish.
Oh, dang. Okay, let's see.
I think I got something.
Okay, I think I got something too. Ready?
Yep.
3, 2, 1.
Bug. Fly pattern.
Oh, okay. Shoot.
Bug fly pattern. Okay. Ooh.
Yeah, I was thinking mud bug. Mm. And then, yeah. So you said fly pattern.
I was thinking crawl pattern.
I should have went there. Okay, let's try number two. Okay, so yeah, so bug and fly pattern. Okay, I think I have something.
I got something that's related to a previous experience that you've talked about on the podcast.
Previous experience I've talked about in the podcast?
Yep.
Oh, dude, I've talked about a lot of stuff. A previous experience on the podcast that's related to bugs somehow.
Yep.
And fly patterns.
Yep.
Oh, okay. I think maybe. We'll see. Okay, so this is try number three. Okay, ready? 3, 2, 1.
Bee. Lano bug.
Ah,
what'd you say?
I said a bee.
Mm, I said Lano bug. Like, your first carp experience.
Son of a gun. Bee and Lano bug.
This is tough. Bro,
we suck, man.
We do.
Okay, so number.
And this is our last try, isn't it?
This is try 4, I think.
Okay.
Well, let's see. Okay, so because I said fly fishing, and then I said crawfish. Mud bug, and then I said bee.
Okay, and then I said
so this is 4.
Okay.
Great. Okay.
Yep.
So what was it again? So we have bee,
Lano bug, and bee.
Yeah, Lano bug and bee. Okay.
Okay. There's something that's related to both of them.
I think I got something. Maybe Lano bug and bee. There's a few different directions.
There's a commonality between the two. That's what I'm thinking of.
Okay.
A typical. It's not 100% a commonality, but a typical commonality.
Okay. I think I might know. I have an idea. We'll see. Are you ready? You want to count it down?
3, 2, 1.
Yellow. Terrestrial. Oh, shoot.
Hey, terrestrial is a commonality, but I figured both of them typically
so
have yellow.
Is yellow. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Yellow, okay, terrestrial.
Yellow terrestrial. I think we can do this.
I think we can.
I think I got something in mind.
Yellow terrestrial.
Mm. This is our last chance right here.
We got to
make
it
or break it.
Okay.
Okay.
Yellow terrestrial.
Yeah, man. Just, you know, say whatever hops in your mind first, you know?
Okay. Hmm. Okay. All right. You want to count it down?
Sure. Ready? 3, 2, 1.
Grasshopper. We got it! I picked up your little hint. We cheated.
Dude, that was, yeah. I mean,
that was tough.
We had to get a little desperate. Dude, it was harder than I thought it'd be.
Dude, it's a lot harder than I thought, because normally me and you are on the same brainwave. Like, I can't name how many times we finished each other's sentences, but this word association, like, on cue is difficult for sure.
Yeah. Dude, it's crazy. But it's so interesting, because, like, it kind of shows where, like, how our brains operate a little bit. But,
right.
Yeah, I mean, it's wild. All right, you want to do the next one?
Yeah. So do you want to try to do, has to be outdoor related overall, or do you want to do like tighter categories? Like that one, we pretty much stayed on fly fishing.
Yeah, yeah.
You want to try to do a hunting one now, or you want to keep it pretty vague?
Yeah, let's do a categorical one. We can do a hunting.
All right.
Let's see. Hold on. Let me think.
All right, you ready?
I got something. Yes, sir.
3, 2, 1. Conservation. Okay. Bow conservation. Okay.
There is a commonality. I think I got some too.
There is.
Okay, ready? Mm-hmm. 3, 2, 1.
Hunting. Deer.
Mm.
What'd you say? Hunt?
Okay. I said hunting. Okay, yeah, because hunting is like can be a form of conservation. So yep. You can bow hunt. So I said hunting. Okay, so you said deer hunting. If I said deer, I said hunting. So we're on try number 3. Okay. What is a commonality between deer and hunting?
I have one.
Okay, let me see. Deer and hunting. Deer and hunting. Okay, I think I got one too.
3, 2, 1. Ruck. Buck.
Oh.
Ooh. Dang. Buck and rut.
Okay.
Okay, okay. We got this.
We're getting there. We're getting there.
Yeah, buck and rut, we got it.
For sure. I hope. We'll see. All right, ready?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
Doe. Got it.
Solid.
That one had
solid.
To point. Had to point solid. In the same direction. We got that one in 4.
I mean, come on. Why are bucks running? Come on.
Right, exactly. So funny story. Actually, I was talking to a guy at work today, and he went out with another one of our coworkers fishing this past weekend. And I asked him, I said, if he's ever been turkey hunting, because I want to try to get out and go turkey hunting this spring. And he said they're out there fishing, and they heard just like a bunch of commotion. And he said they turned around, and there's like a flock of freaking turkeys like flopping in the water and like running up the bank. And they were like, what the heck? And then about 5 minutes later, they heard the same thing. They turned around, and it was a bunch of freaking jakes just chasing them up there. And he was like, what? He's like, y'all are a little early, but you know, they're young and you know, they got those hormones going. But I was like, dude,
I guess so.
That means they're out there. So I'm excited. I want to try to get out there and do some public land turkey hunting this year.
Heck yeah. I don't know any places here in Texas that have public land turkey. I don't know if I'd want to hunt public land turkey here. Probably gets pretty rowdy, I imagine.
I would assume so. Mm. We have so much national forest over here and stuff like that I think it's pretty sparse. There's areas, though, where another one of my coworkers, he goes and he hunts the same WMA every year. And he said that he located some last year out scouting and remembered that spot and went out there opening day. And there was already 3 trucks parked at his spot. I was like, that sucks. But that's one specific area, and it's a really small WMA. So I'm thinking if I go to National Forest, it might be a little more out, you know, widespread, hopefully, you'd think.
Yeah.
But I need to learn how to owl hoot. I've heard owl hoot, like, especially up here in the Ouachita's and the Ozarks, that you can actually get some turkeys going nuts if you can do a good owl hoot.
Dude, isn't that crazy?
It is.
I've heard that, too, and I've seen videos on YouTube, like, of people doing it. It's wild.
It is.
It's pretty cool.
Can you use a diaphragm call?
Are you asking me?
Yeah.
No, dude. I've tried, and it is, for me, it was very hard. It was very difficult.
I can't use them. I've used box calls and slate calls, but I cannot figure out a diaphragm for some reason.
I can't either, man. It's weird. I guess it's also, I mean, but some people are so good, dude. It just goes to show, like, how good they really are, because I struggle, man. My only turkey hunting experience, I had bought a slate call, and I bought, maybe it's because it's a cheaper diaphragm too, but I bought a fairly affordable diaphragm, and I practiced a lot with a slate call. And then I started trying to practice with a diaphragm. I'd get a couple like squeaks that sounded nothing like a turkey. Mm-hmm. I just gave up, and I was like, man, I'm just going to stick with the slate call. And that's what I did. I haven't picked up a diaphragm since.
Yeah, I don't even know where mine are at. Mine are probably packed away somewhere. But yeah, I think they have at Sportsman's Warehouse. I saw that they had a kit that came with a slate and diaphragms, or a box and diaphragms. I might do that. Just so I'm not spending too much on diaphragms, because I have never been successful. But hell, I've been more successful calling in turkeys with just my mouth than with any type of call. Did I tell you about that when I used to work for the county paving roads?
Yeah, I was just about to ask you about that. Yeah.
Freaking called That's him wild, in from dude. Probably like 100 yards, and he came within 25 yards. I was out there just sitting on my pneumatic roller calling him just with my mouth. So
nice. Yeah. But I think we're getting pretty close on time, so we should start wrapping it up. And I'd hate to end it on a somber note. However, I think there is a good reason to do so. Mm-hmm. Before we sign off, this is as of today, 2/29/2024, the last day in February. I'm sure many of you have heard about it already, but there are some really, really bad wildfires that are occurring here in the state of Texas. I mean, over 1 million acres burned, as far as according to the last update It's only 3% contained. The burn itself, it's larger than the state of Rhode Island. If that just kind of puts things into perspective for you. So far, astonishingly, only 2 people have passed away, but still, I mean, that's very unfortunate. May they rest in peace. And the crazy thing is we're going to have, I mean, with the warming temps that we're going to have, there's also going to be some winds that come with it. And that both those things does not lend themselves well to fighting a wildfire. So, I guess we'll just send our thoughts and prayers for the people who are impacted by this tragedy. And, if anybody wants to donate, there's, quite a few opportunities to do so. For example, there's a GoFundMe for Texas Wildfire Relief Hub. There's a group of volunteers called the Texas Baptist Men. They're heading up to the Panhandle to provide some relief. There is a state fund that is being set up for ranchers who have been impacted by this disaster. And there's also a drive going for livestock supplies, such as feed and hay and things like that. So if you're wanting to donate, to help out in any way, there are plenty of opportunities to do so, but just wanted to share that with folks just to keep them in mind. And yeah, so I guess that's our message. Sorry to end it on such a tough note, but I don't feel like, considering how things are going, it'd be appropriate to not mention it, you know?
Exactly. But, and it's one of those things to where it's affecting a lot of ranchers, and that's their livelihood. That's their whole life. That's all they have, and they don't have anything to fall back on or any way to recoup. So any help that y'all can give is greatly appreciated by everybody that's affected. Secondary to that, it's kind of a big deal because in Carson County, there's a area that is, they assemble and disassemble nuclear warheads and stuff like that. And the fire is creeping in on that location. So if I'm not mistaken, if I read correctly, there's over 20,000 plutonium cores there. And it could be a very bad thing if that area ignites. So everybody just, you know, if you're in the area, pay attention to the officials. If you need to evacuate, make sure you evacuate, because, you know, it could turn into a very, very bad situation. As far as I can tell, it's not looking like it's a, you know, they're not thinking that anything is going to happen. They've kind of tried to get ahead of it. But watch the news or pull up, you know, anything the officials may say, and look for updates if you're in that area in the Texas Panhandle, anywhere near Amarillo. So I think that location is in Carson County. So y'all keep an eye out for that as well.
Yeah. Well, everybody, if you've made it this far, hopefully we didn't bore you and things, but just, we appreciate you listening in and spending some time with us. And I hope you all have a good weekend, and we'll chat some more next week.
Yep. We'll catch y'all next time.
This has been Wildlife Outdoors. Thanks for listening. Follow us on Facebook at Wildlife Outdoors and on Instagram at wild.life.outdoors. Let's go live life on the wild side.